Hello, Adam.
How's it going? Welcome to the tanker.
Thank you.
Super. So I understood you had some talking points to go around with No Face Like for today.
Yes. Yeah. So I suppose first off, I am interested in what led you to this app specifically. Like, did you, when you were spitballing ideas, is it born out of your master's degree, or what made you interested in this particular app?
Well, I suppose if you go from kind of a wide aspect, back in our undergrad course for the final year project, I'd done a project for retail that used like a Kinect and processing with the back projecting the screen. So it was basically a retail app that used almost the form of augmented reality. So it's actually kind of spawned in the retail space and was definitely interested in kind of marketing tech that might be a bit out there, a bit different. And from going from there into like startup weekends, things like that, that's really where the idea was kind of born from initially, and kind of guiding down like the hardcore AR stuff, or the straight up AR, as opposed to any of the other stuff that was out there, like VR, MR, XR. And essentially, that's kind of where it morphed from startup weekend, and then going from there into just applying for different business programs to take the general app idea of using AR in retail. And then from that point on, I really decided to focus down and go to the homeware sector with it. So that's kind of where we ended up and started out from.
Okay, and so this, you see this app as kind of a general purchasing device, in that, yeah, I believe at the moment it's specifically homewares and furniture and house appliances as such. But do you think that would the idea be that it can also be used for clothing or smaller wearable goods as such?
Yeah, so there's definitely some space out there to do AR, and like, I suppose like the platform we've built at the moment is really about putting objects on flat surfaces, and whether it's horizontal or vertical surfaces, that's essentially where we are right now, and that's what our platform is. But we're definitely looking at our like 2-3-5 year plans about where we can take AR in general. Once we've got a bit of a traction in the market and a bit of confidence with our target audience, that we can start branching out into different verticals. So that's something that we've definitely been working on. We've got a research team in Limerick Institute of Technology, so we've got about 80 researchers working at the moment for us on identifying new verticals and what makes a good vertical for augmented reality. So that's something we're definitely excited to see over the next 3 months.
Okay, so I suppose starting off with appliances and furniture and the like is the most practical and immediate idea that you had to, or application for the app to have.
Yeah, so like we could have gone down routes of doing things like face detection and stuff, and like trying on different types of glasses, but there's only such a limited market with that. So definitely comes down to kind of a business decision as well. Homeware is a very quickly expanding market as well, especially in Ireland. It's set to nearly double over the next 4 years, so it's really growing quickly.
Okay, and if I can actually, I think that we've probably skipped a step here in this first conversation, just to make sure that we cover all points. Can I take you back to the very beginning, and what is this app called?
Oh yeah, probably. So it's No Place Like. It's available on iOS for devices iPhone 6S and up, running iOS 11. It sounds like a good few caveats there, but there is quite a large user base, especially in the US, for those kind of devices. So we're seeing roughly 50% of iPhones are compatible with that at the moment. So roughly 10% of iPhones. Yeah.
Can you tell me before we get bogged down in tech specs, like, why would I? That's why I'm here to rein you in. Why would I download the app, what would I, what interest would I have, what would I want to have to download this app?
Gotcha. So essentially our long-term goal is to become the premium place for augmented reality shopping. And essentially what AOR can answer for you as a user is, will this item fit my environment and will it suit my environment? So if you're shopping and if you're kind of not satisfied with traditional media like photos and videos, AOR can really benefit you in terms of answering those two key questions.
Okay, so basically the app allows you to project a product into the space that you will then be using the product prior to buying it.
Correct, 100%. So it really improves your confidence in clicking that buy button, especially, you know, with online retailers nowadays, not having that that kind of like floor space to actually showcase their products, really helps in conveying a confident decision to their users.
Okay, so it's a try before you buy app.
Almost, yeah, exactly, yeah. So you can whether you find an item online and download our app that way, or if you from this podcast download our app, or if you're in store and you see an item with one of our tags on it that says take it home with you, if you can literally digitally take an item home with you, so it's really handy for that.
Okay, amazing. So it's really I suppose what it's really doing is minimizing the amount of product returns for companies. So
definitely,
do you see this?
That's
do you see
that
this
is, yeah.
as mutually beneficial to both retailers and customers, or do you see the app honing in either more on the company's usage of it or more on the consumer's use of it?
Well, to be fair, we couldn't have one without the other, really. And it is a bit of a two-horse race to try and keep track of both of our stakeholders, really. So we definitely have to provide value to both the user and the retailer. A lot of our marketing and things like that will be generally B2B or business to business, and aimed towards the retailers and getting those guys on board. But in terms of users, we've seen some really good feedback in terms of how they're actually shopping and responding with it. So we do offer a few different values, like you mentioned, the returns and returned items. So that's definitely a big thing. Also spanning from that, we've definitely seen an increase in both customer satisfaction and with the actual buying conversion rate. So there's a lot of indecisiveness around buying large items online, especially ones that you might not have seen before. And obviously you're not going to have the opportunity to try out 10 different couches within 5 minutes in your living room. So we're definitely enabling quicker purchasing decisions that way. So everyone seems to benefit all around from it. So we definitely are focused on both the users and the retailers having a good experience.
Okay, okay. And if I can move on to a quote from our good friend Gary Vaynerchuk, it doesn't matter how much money you make, but how you make it. I mean, in developing apps, I suppose apps, especially in technology, being what they are in the fast-moving environment, sometimes you can be unaware with the potential impact of the thing that you're developing may have on society, individuals. There's a lot at the moment to do with Facebook and how it's actually created some form of technological and social wedge between people. So do you have any ethical concerns, or was there anything that in the process of developing this app that you and your team were unsure of how the app, I know that the app is still in a developmental process, and it's, even though it's available on the iTunes store, but is there any ethical quandaries that came up in the development of the app?
I suppose we've seen, especially with AR in general, and mixed reality, like the HoloLens, and I don't know if you've seen Intel's glasses that they've kind of announced last week, is that putting like a screen in front of someone's face 24/7, that I think could have quite a lot of ethical repercussions, I guess. But I suppose from what we're doing, it's easy to be able to say like no, but we are essentially vying for eyeballs as well. We're in that we're in the attention race, whether we like it or not. If someone's using Facebook 24/7, that means they're using our app 07. We're looking to get some sort of attention and user engagement for sure. So, on a macro, there would be, but I think we overwhelmingly provide value as opposed to attractions for both the users as well. But again, it kind of remains to be seen. Like, you know, there's a lot of talk in Silicon Valley about limiting devices and limiting, you know, screen on time for people as well. So it's an unfortunate situation where you're gonna have to pay to play the game, and if you're not playing the game, you're definitely not gonna win it.
True. And I suppose, I mean, don't get me wrong, I suppose at the moment you're not at that level. So I suppose any ethical issues that may arise will arise, I suppose, parallel to the success of the app.
I tend to agree for sure. So I'd say the few hours of engagement that we've had so far and over the last few weeks from people has been good. They've gotten value from it. But I suppose it is an industry question, and it has to be if it takes a big ship like Facebook a long time to move, it definitely takes an even longer time for an industry to change its ways, and I suppose a collective effort and understanding too. So it's an interesting question. I suppose it's one to keep an eye on for future, but it's, as a startup, you kind of have to put the foot to the floor and just go with it.
The scrambling lower rung level. So just to keep it moving, we're entering our last couple of minutes here. So what do you ask? What are you at the moment? What was this week like in the life of No Place Like?
Gotcha. So over the last week, we've been refining our business model. We've got a review with our accelerator program, Enterprise Ireland, New Frontiers program next week. So getting prepped and ready for that. Tomorrow, I've got a pitch in Bank of Ireland Workbench in Limerick. So definitely a shout out to Bank of Ireland. They've been a good help over the last few months, putting on events and with their workbench as well. Shameless plug, but they're worth it. So we've got an event coming up tomorrow in there, so just to showcase the app with the iOS developer meetup. So that's going to be good to run over the technology side of things. It's nice to be able to sit back and look at the tech for a while, as opposed to worrying about all the other things that are going on. So at the moment, we're just refining our pricing model, working with with our clients at the moment. So we've got 3 different clients in Limerick, just working on getting their storefronts up and running, and refining our data as well. So we're getting some really promising data coming in. So just making improvements all around.
Lovely. And just before we finish up, where can we get the app?
Cool. So it's on the iPhone App Store at the moment. You can find it out there for all countries. We've got only Irish products on there at the moment, but if you've got a download from a different country and your favorite brand isn't on there, make sure to reach out to alan@noplacelike.co, and I'll be sure to respond.
Okay, and where can we follow your No Place Like journey? Where are you documenting the happenings in the life of a No Place Like developer?
So definitely Instagram is the platform of choice for us at the moment. You can follow my own personal journey, which is probably the most detailed. Alan Wixted, AllenWixted on Instagram. And if you follow me there, it's generally the most frequently updated, so behind the scenes, I guess.
Lovely. Well, I think that pretty much takes us up to the 15th minute. And as previously discussed, we're going to try and keep these chats as efficient as possible. So, Alan, thank you very much for week one of what has been the No Place Like Anchor podcast.
Super. Thanks, Connor. Chat to you next week.
No problem, man. Bye.